Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles. You might want to put your bookmark in Ephesians 5 if you have an opportunity to have one with you. Paul reminds us along with the believers at Colossae to put on the new man, to be the beloved chosen of God with godly character. There's too many times during the day and during the week and during the month that I don't think about the fact that I am a child of God, that I have responsibility to represent my Father. I'm an ambassador for Christ because He's died for me. He's given me the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile others to God. And too many times I'm caught up in the daily duties and the routine of life, and I don't pause and think about, you know, how I handle this situation. I'm representing my Father. How I deal with people, I'm representing God, and they'll judge God by how I live. And that's a sad commentary for us, why so often we need to confess our sin and ask for forgiveness and cleansing. But we seek to live with godly character, a heart of mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Forbearing one another is a way the Bible says put up with one another. Hold back when you put up with one another. Forbearing. Forgiving one another. Above all, he said, charity, which is love, the highest form of sacrificial giving love. The greatest passion that God had for us, that He would give His Son to die in our place, as David sang in that song about Calvary's love. That's the kind of love that God has for us, and we're to have for Him, have for one another. And you cannot have that love if you don't know Christ as your Savior, because that is a fruit of the Spirit. You can have Philadelphia love, brotherly love. You can have family love, but you can't have the sacrificial giving love that God has unless you know Christ as your Savior. And so it's important to know the Lord, and that helps make marriages work. Colossians 3 and verse 18. We saw in verse 16 last week that the Word of Christ is to dwell in us and produce fruit in the same way the Holy Spirit produces fruit. In Ephesians 5, where we saw the fruit of the Spirit is we're to be filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit produces psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and making melody in our heart. And the Word of God is to do the same thing. And then verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You don't always think about that as an employee working for a company or an employer. But God thinks about it, and He expects us to be good workers and have a Christian testimony and do what we can to work in the right way. We're not slaves by the grace of God, but we're still servants. And wherever we work, we put that into practice. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, I ask that you'll guide me as I speak, and that you will speak to all of the hearts of the people here today, that we'd be encouraged and blessed and given instruction, guidance, and direction for our lives. And if there's anyone lost, that they'd see their great need and be drawn to Christ, we pray. We ask for your help and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. We're to let our hearts be guided and ruled by love and the peace of God. And Christ's word will give us wisdom and will reveal a spirit-filled life by rejoicing, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We saw that last week in verse 16 and 17, and we saw it from Ephesians 5 in verse 18 through 21. How the Spirit and the Word produce that rejoicing Christian. We're to seek to glorify God with our lives. Everything we do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And in the ministry, it's much easier to focus on the Lord and think about what we do for God. I'm not just doing this as a pastor for the people. I love you, and God's given me a love for you, and I want to help you. But if you don't do what I want you to do, I could get angry with you and get upset and get mad and pitch a temper tantrum and quit. And that's not what God wants. I'm not serving just for you. I'm serving the Lord. And the Lord placed me here, gave me responsibility. I got to answer to Him for what I do. And I got to answer to Him for what I teach you. And so that weighs upon me as a weight. But at the same time, I count it a blessing that God would choose to put me into the ministry. The great testimony to our neighbors and our friends and our family is that God has brought about a godly change in our life. We come to know Christ as our Savior, and that people we meet on the streets and in the work area and neighbors and all that sort of thing, that they learn that we have a Christian testimony, that there's things we won't do and things that we don't say, and we live a certain lifestyle, that we go to church on Sunday. All your neighbors know if you go to church or not, because a lot of them don't go, and they see your car missing at the same time every Sunday, and it comes back in about the same time every Sunday afternoon. And they know if you go to church or not. And if they have business dealings with you or any dealings with you, they learn the kind of life that you live and the testimony that you have. God help us to be godly people and live a testimony so that if they judge God by us, that they'll see that we are real. People should know we're not perfect. We're not sinlessly perfect as Christ is sinlessly perfect. But we seek to live a godly life. Now, today we look at verse 18. First of all, he addresses the wives. Wives, here's your word for the day. Rodney King. Rodney King was a low-level criminal with a long sheet of crimes, was stopped and resisted arrest. And the police tried to restrain him, and he was a great big guy. So he fought with them, and he was unwilling to submit. And all of the actions were caught on tape, people filming. And they caught it, whether it's telephones or, you know, somebody had a camera or what. And they caught it all on tape. Well, the police shot him with a taser, and that didn't even stop him. And so they started beating him with their nightsticks. And several police officers beat him unmercifully for quite a few minutes. And because of that, the sympathy changed from the cops arresting the criminal to the criminal who was getting beat near to death with the nightsticks, and the whole sentiment changed as a result of that. Well, he went before the news media, sitting in a wheelchair, bandaged up, and he said, "Can't we all just get along?" And criminals are never going to get along with the cops, and the cops are going to never get along with the criminals. See, you have to believe a lot to get along. And the same thing is true in a home, ladies. We're not going to ever all just get along. We're going to have differences of opinion. We're going to have conflict. We're going to have people that we can't agree with. And there's going to be some difficulties that will come. Well, look at Islam today. It doesn't get along with anybody. They kill their own people. They have bombed the Muslims as much as they'll bomb the great Satan, who's the people of America. And they don't get along with anybody. And the reason they don't get along with anybody, they don't believe like we believe. In the home, you're going to have sibling rivalry. I have three sisters. I have a younger sister 5 years younger than me. I have an older sister 5 years older than me. And I have a sister that's 7 years older than me. Now, the sister that's 7 years older than me and I got along better than any of the rest. The sister who's 5 years older than me, we are like a cat and a dog in the same room. We just don't see eye to eye on anything. Anything I would say is a direct slam to her because she doesn't know that or have that or do that. Or instead of, you can't give her a compliment. She'll take it as an offense, you know. And we can't get along at all, you know, so we just stay apart most of the time. Sibling rivalry. I came along 5 years after her, and she was the baby, see, and then all of a sudden now Mama had a baby boy. And her first child was born, stillborn, was a boy. So she had two girls, and then I came along. So I got all the attention, you know. Time I was a year old, I weighed 45 pounds. Anytime I'd cry, she'd stick a bottle in my mouth, you know. I put syrup in it. Sibling rivalry. You show me people that get a divorce, and I'll show you people that don't really like each other anymore. They can get so vicious about each other not a kind word to say and you know, do things to harm one another and all that sort of thing. It can get really, really bad sometimes with divorces. Crimes. You can't get along with criminals who steal from you and that sort of thing unless they truly repent. And I think when they repent, they ought to pay you back. You know, the Bible said pay you back four times what they stole. That'd be a pretty good deal if the court would make them do that. But you're not going to get along with them if they continue. That's where there are wars. There's war and rumor of war until the end of time. Jesus said that, made it very plain. How are you going to know which war is the end of time? You're not. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. People don't get along. A lack of peace. No basis for unity because our beliefs are not the same. Unity comes when people believe alike. Husband and wife need to believe alike. That's why it's important to marry somebody of the same Christian faith. What ends up happening 90% of the time when one person has a different church background from a different kind of denomination, Catholic or Protestant denomination, and they marry a hellfire and brimstone Baptist, it's not going to be long until there's a conflict about your religion. You don't believe alike, and there's going to be a problem there. People don't all live by the same rule. When I was growing up, I watched Superman on black and white TV. And he taught me truth, justice, and the American way. A never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Then I went to Boy Scouts and I raised my hand and pledged an allegiance to the Boy Scouts and to the United States of America. And there's patriotism and morality that are taught and were taught in those things. It's Girl Scouts, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts. Then you go to Sunday school and you learn the Ten Commandments. And you learn the Word of God. You learn Jesus died on the cross for you. And so when people get saved and grow in the Word of God, their morals change. You begin to understand what you're being taught as a child growing up about the right way to live. It might be called the American way. It might be called a Christian life. It might be called having morals and ethics. They should all go together. A believer is now in a new relationship with God as his Father, and we have responsibility to represent Him to the world. We are children of God. And something comes with that promise of a future with God forever, of a requirement and a responsibility on how we live today. We're given roles as believers according to the Bible. A role as a parent. A role as a wife. A role as a husband. A role as a church member. And God has a chain of command in all these things. Turn back to Ephesians 5 with me and verse 22. Begin with verse 21 instead. Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A real moral breakdown of society happens when men and women reject God's word and God's authority over them. And they begin to do things their own way. You go back to Romans chapter 1 and you see what happens to society when they reject God and God begins to turn them over to their sin for their own destruction. Jesus submitted himself to his parents at 12 years of age. When he stayed at the temple and they came back to find him, He told them why he was there, said they should understand, but he submitted himself to them, and he returned home with them. He subjected himself to the Father to always do the Father's will. He prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When a husband and wife get saved, and they're maturing in the Word of God, they begin to have an understanding and a peace about submission to one another and submission to God as His Word teaches. The wife is to submit to her husband who submits to God. And if he will submit to God and lead his home in that way, then it should not be a problem for a wife to submit to her husband. Unless she's a rebel, or unless he is not following God, then that creates an imbalance in the situation and a great difficulty occurs. Many wives want their husbands to be a Christian and to lead their family and do what is right. And many wives are envious of you Christian women who have a Christian husband. Many women out there today wish their husband was like the husband you have. And I remember a couple down in Florida that went to Bible college with us, and she was a saved Methodist, and her husband was a Jew who ran a machine shop that his father had built and owned, and he was now the manager of it, was running it, and she wanted her husband to get saved. She knew he wasn't saved. She prayed and prayed and prayed. One day, an independent Baptist preacher came by and gave him the gospel, and he believed, and he got saved. Didn't happen momentarily. You know, he visited with him a couple of times. He got saved. Well, when he got saved with both feet. He got in church, started going every time the doors were open, told his wife, "We're leaving this liberal Methodist church. We're going over here to this independent Baptist church. We're going to do what the Bible says." About a year later, he said, "I believe the Lord would have me go preach." And so we're going off to Bible college. She said, "I didn't want him to get that saved." She said, "I just wanted him to get saved so he quit drinking and being immoral and doing any other thing like that, you know." She said, "I wanted him to be the husband I wanted him to be, but instead, he became the husband God wanted him to be." And she submitted and came with him to Bible college. A wise husband will listen to what his wife has to say. And a wise husband has a godly love for his wife, which makes her submission far easier. If she sees God leads him, then it's much easier for her to follow. But if she sees he doesn't know the mind of God and he doesn't follow the will of God, then it's going to make it very difficult for her to be in submission as should be. A husband as a leader. I remember one time we had this lady came to a revival meeting, got saved. She went home and told her husband she got saved, and he got mad. He went to the bar on Friday and Saturday night, and he picked a guitar and sang a little bit, you know, and drank a lot of beer. And she wouldn't go with him anymore because she got saved, so he got mad. So he come in the back door of the church one night with a gun, going to shoot the preacher. It was all my fault, the problems he's having in his home, you know. Well, a couple of the ushers, big old guys, sat at the back door waiting on him because one of the old gentlemen is his neighbor. He told him what he was going to do. He messed up then. He didn't even get in the door. They caught him under each arm, walked him right on back out in the street, you know. And he'd had him a few beers, get his nerve up, you know. I don't even know if he had a gun on him or not, but he never was a threat. He apologized to me, you know, when I came outside and thanked the Lord and that sort of thing. But my point is, it takes husband and wife to both be saved and both decide we're going to live for God and follow the Bible. And then you submit to each other, and that makes the chain of command easy to use. The husband as a leader, and to give, whether it's a corporate boss, both of them would be smart to listen to their employees to know how things are going. The wife can give good advice. The wife may see areas the husband doesn't see, and they work together for the cause of Christ. Submission does not imply inferiority. I've explained several times this church an illustration that stuck with me throughout my life. I knew a guy who's a principal of middle school. He's retired now. He's got a little dementia slipping in, and school made him retire. He was a principal of a smaller school over here, one of the junior schools. And he, for years, he was principal down in Lexington, South Carolina at a high school and drove back and forth every day to Lexington, South Carolina. Was the principal of the school down there for many years. And he was a sergeant in the Army National Guard in Clover. And in the summertime, when he wasn't going to school, he worked full-time for the Army National Guard in payroll. And he would go with a captain who was over the payroll, and they would administer the checks to the employees and all that sort of thing. Well, he'd been in Army longer than the captain. He was older than the captain. He had more education than the captain. He had 3 master's degrees. But he never wanted to leave his family and home and go off to officer's training school to become an officer in the Army. He wanted to stay in the Army Reserve. And so he was a E6 or E7 level sergeant. The captain treated him with respect because of his age and because of his knowledge. The captain would wisely ask his opinion about things. And they got along real well. But when it came to giving an order, it was the captain's responsibility to give the orders and the sergeant's responsibility to follow what the captain said. That's a chain of command. It's like that in the military. It's like that in the police departments. It's like that in the corporate world. You may be under a boss who is younger than you, and you may have more knowledge than he does, but he's the boss. And so you got to submit yourself to what he tells you to do. A husband who seeks to be overbearing and uses position abusively or inconsistently is foolish, and he won't have God's blessings, and he makes it difficult for his family to follow him and be in submission as they should. We must all submit to God and His Word and to one another. Secondly, the husbands. Your role is guided by love as Christ had for the church. Sacrificial, giving love that He died in our place. The Greek language reveals that is a continuous action love. Continuously, we are to love our wives. A choice to love. Even when things are not romantic, you still have that sacrificial giving love. We have to beware of bitterness building up, Colossians says. When there's difficulty, when there's problems, when there's trials and tests, when there's forgiveness that is needed, we must be careful we don't allow ourselves to become bitter. Bitterness will eat you up inside. It doesn't hurt the other person, it only hurts you. And so get it out of your life like a bad taste. When you bite something and it's too bitter to eat and you spit it out, get bitterness out of your life. A husband provides separation or sanctity for the marriage, like God did for the church, helping her to become what God intends her to be. Love her like your own body. I don't think about how much I love my body, but I make sure it gets fed, and I make sure it gets sleep. My body makes sure it gets sleep. Because one night I can't sleep, the next night I sleep real good for a long time. Last night I slept. My wife went skating with the kids, or went watched kids skate. You didn't go skating yourself. She decided she might not bounce when she lands too now. She can skate real well, but she didn't want to try it. And she came home, it was probably 7:30 or something like that when she got home, or 8 o'clock. I was dead to the world. I woke up about 3 times during the night, you know, but I slept from about 7 o'clock last night till 6:30 this morning. And that's a rarity for me to sleep like that. But my body needs it. I've got to have enough rest to keep going. And so I make sure I get enough rest. I make sure I'm fed. We need to look after our wife with the same kind of intensity that we look after ourselves. I take a shower every day. On the weekend, if I don't have anywhere to go on Friday or something, and I work a lot or something, you know, I may wait till Saturday to take my shower. But most of the time, I take a shower every morning. And if I get out and work and do anything and don't take a shower, everybody knows it, and I know it too. You know, body's corruptible. I used enough bleach cleaning my house Friday that it, you know, covered it all up. You know, I sprayed bleach all over the vinyl siding of the house and washed it down with the hose, you know, and got it shining up nice and white and pretty now instead of green mold all over it. And it looks a whole lot better. Love your wife like your own body. Care for her like you care for yourself. Provide for her like you provide for yourself. Nourish her. responsibility to make sure her needs are met. Women need security. Women need love and affection. Women need to feel appreciated. And men need respect from their wife and love from their wife. And men need opportunity. You know, the old saying, like you train a man, like you train a dog, you know. He got to have something to fight about. He got to have some enough to be fed, you know, place to sleep. Keep him content, and he'll be happy and do what you tell him to do, you know. Women need security more than a man. Man got a roof over his head, cup of dollars in his pocket. His wife sleeps with him on a regular basis. He's fine. He gets along good, you know. But if you mess up any of those, he gets ill, you know. You got to watch him. He'll get bitter. We're to cherish and provide warmth for our wife like a mother bird provides for her young. A man wraps his arm around his wife and she feels secure. She feels protected. She feels warm. And that's part of our function as a husband. The wife respects her husband who's serving the Lord and can be in submission unto him. And we both need love and affection from each other. Thirdly, Ephesians deals with the children. And so does Colossians. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So children are to obey their parents. If you're old enough to be saved as a child, then you're old enough to understand you got a responsibility to obey your mother and your father. It pleases God for us to be submissive. Many troubled youth get into today comes when they are deceptive to their parents, when they start telling lies, when they start running with a bad crowd. And they can get in all kinds of problems, never intending to let it happen, but it happens because they start down that path. Understand, God promised you a longer life if you're obedient to your mother and your father. The original command dealt with Israel in the land of promise of Canaan. They would live longer in the land, but the New Testament brings that over for all believers as a longer life. The blessings of God on you. Young people, you think God doesn't remember what you do from day to day? He knows all about us. He knows everything we do. We don't do anything that's outside the sight of God. God's always watching over His people. He never slumbers or sleeps. He knows exactly what's taking place. You fool your mom and dad. How do you know? Because from the time I was 14 years old, I was a weekend drunk. I'd go hang out with my buddies. We'd go camp out. We would drink. We'd get drunk. Throw up rather than die with alcohol poisoning, take in so much alcohol. I did that most weekends from the time I was 14, 15, 16, 17 years of age. I'd come home sick. My mother said, Jimmy, are you all right? Oh, I ate a bad hamburger, Mama. Hey, you haven't been drinking, have you? No, Mom, no, you know I haven't been drinking. My mother was so naive, she disbelieved me, you know. Either that or she wouldn't show it if she didn't. People lie to people. Kids lie to parents all the time. Did you break that window? No, ma'am. Got a rock behind your back. No, ma'am, I didn't break that window. It's human nature. But children are to obey their parents. And parents, you need to be wise in the Lord. You need to watch for your children and pray. You need to keep them from harmful situations all that you possibly can. And you need to discipline when they do wrong. They need to learn there's a consequence for doing wrong. How you discipline is your business. If you make them stand in the corner, you make them write sentences, you take a paddle and spank their behind, all of those are good. There's nothing wrong with any of those. But when you spank, spank in love, don't spank in anger. Wait till you cool down. And then have a measured discipline when you spank and tell them you're doing this because it's according to the Bible. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's what the Bible says. That singer, Mark Lowry, he went around the country playing the piano and singing for people and talking about that. He said he was a child, he was foolish, he did all kind of wrong things, and he said, and then his mom and daddy got saved and read the Bible. Foolishness is bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And he had the rod of correction. Longer life is promised to you. And you better never think that God doesn't know what you're getting into. Honor your mom and dad. And learn submission from your parents, because if you don't learn submission to your parents, you won't be submissive to God in His Word when He teaches you what is right in your life. We're not going to get away with sin. Last of all, he deals with servants in Colossians 3, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Ephesians 6, 5 through 9 gives us a repeat. Today, Christians are in the workforce more than serving masters. It's important that a Christian is a valuable employee. It's important that he follows the instructions. It's important that he works hard. It's important that he does more than what is required of him. It's important that if you're getting paid by the hour, that you give an honest hour's work for the pay that you receive. God sees your work ethic. He sees your honesty. He sees your integrity, and it reflects on Him. He's your Father. You profess to be a Christian, then people will hold you accountable to live by the Bible. And boy, the unsaved world are real quick to look at our lives and tell us if we do something that's not right. And sadly, too many times, they're right. If you're a boss, God sees how you treat your help. Pay them an honest day's wage and treat them in a way that you earn their respect. Your respect has to be earned. It's not automatic. As a Christian, we know that we're to respect the offices of the leaders of this country. Even though we can't respect the leader themselves, we're to respect that office and pray for them. And you may have that relationship in your job, but it'll be a lot better relationship. You get more productivity out of your employees if you treat them honestly and decently with integrity. And you'll learn real quick as a boss, you better treat everybody the same way. If you treat some different, you're preferential, you're a respecter of persons. And the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. He expects the same thing out of us all, and He treats us all with the same rewards and blessings. Let's stand together. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word, the instruction that it gives. Sometimes it's hard for us to obey, Father. Pray that You'll guide us and direct us, and may the Holy Spirit bring that quickening to our mind if we do wrong, if we step out of the way, and we confess that to You and praise You for it. Thank You for a good church of people that believe the Bible. I pray You'll bless these homes and families, and Lord, that we'll have a good testimony in the world in which we live. And we need Your help. We ask You for it. We praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.